Do you talk to people on the street?
Yes.
Do you talk to people you don't know on the street?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know where I was going with this.
Yes, I do. It's a New York thing.
It's definitely a New York thing.
It's a New York neighbor thing.
But some people are super unhinged.
That's the problem when you talk to people on the street.
Also, I will say it's so different from living in a, you know, beautiful little idyllic neighborhood.
100%.
Like a town.
If you lived, like I lived in Boulder for a little while, and I'm telling you.
Very Hallmark.
There was a woman who collapsed. In front of the apartment building.
Oh my God.
And I was just getting out of my car, and then there was a couple getting out of their car, and they saw it, and they did nothing.
Really?
They did nothing. I was the only one that went up to the poor collapsed woman and asked if she needed help.
Wow, you think Colorado's nice. But you know what? I always...
Nope.
People ask me what Brooklyn's like, and I always say that one time I looked out my window and you saw some girl like wheeling 8 pieces of furniture down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I can help you. You need some tape to tape it all together. And you helped her wheel it down the street. That's Brooklyn.
That is correct. I did do that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is correct. That is what you do. You don't let people collapse on the street and go into your apartment complex.
Yeah. Rude.
I should add, I think she was a drug addict, but who cares?
Well
not she gonna do anything.
Yeah. It's one time in LA there was a woman who fell going up the stairs and I tried to help her and she screamed at me to leave her alone. I was like, well, you're 85 and
yeah,
this could be problematic, but if you're telling me you don't need help. On that note, welcome to Never Not New York, the little slice of actual New York City life that we are living in, not some written fictional movie, TV show, whatever.
Burbs.
Yeah. Today, in honor of being a New York neighbor and having a New York neighbor on this podcast, we are talking about talking to New York neighbors.
On the street.
The web of street convos. Do you get stuck in the web? Do you not get stuck in the web? Mm-hmm. So... I'm never not Eliza.
And I'm never not Mi Young.
And we are friends and we are neighbors and we do talk to each other when we pass each other on the street.
That's correct.
And I give you the honest answer. How are you doing? If it's not good, I tell you straight up.
You are very honest and so am I. Brutally so. Brutally
but not to
so.
Everyone.
Some people don't deserve the raw brutality of your existence.
Without further ado, follow us everywhere. We are there. Let us know if you have something you want us to discuss. We can do it. And we should jump right in. We are talking about street conversations, getting stuck in the sticky web of, hey, how are you?
Yes, how to respond.
So the first thing we need to address is when you see people on the street. I feel like it's on the way to work or it's on street cleaning days.
Yes, street cleaning is a big deal in New York City. Certain neighborhoods, you have to move your car twice a week. It's a big deal with neighbors because, you know, a lot of them have cars and you see one another twice a week and you have to greet them.
And you have to move your car from one side of the street over to double park on the other side.
Right. And then you wait for the street cleaner to come and then you
for 2 hours
repark your car at a later time once the street cleaner has moved and then you sit in your car for a while.
Oh, so you don't get a ticket.
So you don't get a ticket. It's a weird thing. It's a ritual. It's a weird ritual. I don't think it exists elsewhere.
I don't know if it does either because most people don't just like stay in their car. They'll move their car for street cleaning. Like in San Francisco, you move your car.
Yeah.
But like in New York, you stay in your car because the parking spots are so hard to come by.
Yes. You got to plan it out very carefully.
You stake your claim.
At one point, I would get in my car 40 minutes before the time.
Oh my God.
And now I'm at a half an hour.
That's a lot.
Right after the pandemic, a lot of people came back with cars.
And upstate houses.
Yeah. They had their stupid upstate houses and then they crowded our streets. The people that actually had cars before them.
Yeah.
And let me just say this. I didn't get a car till I was, you know, in my later years. Not that I'm that old, but, you know, I waited.
People are going to picture an 80-year-old.
Meaning I was in my 20s. I didn't have a car in New York in my 20s.
Are
you
there
don't
any...
need it when you're in your 20s.
No, definitely not. Are there any besties that you have in the morning? Like you're like, oh, hey, nice to see you. And you only see them like when you do street cleaning or no?
There's my morning man. I can't remember his name. Begins with an R. Ronaldo. He
literally
is always out in the morning and he's sweeping the street. He's just sweeping the street.
Does he sweep with a broom?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't even seen him, but I do see the same crowd because I'll walk by them and I'll walk by with Maverick.
He is always there.
Weird.
It's maybe like 9 in the morning.
Okay.
When are you walking the dog?
Earlier.
Yeah, that's why. He's out a little later. That's why you haven't seen him. But he's always really nice, very sunny disposition. We always talk about the weather.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he'll say, I'll have a blessed one with an accent.
I do love that.
Well, we have a whole thing. We talk about the weather. It's sunny or nice or cold or warm. I mean, it's not a big dialogue going on.
Well, it's nice to check in. Have you ever seen the guy who asks for change? Please, sir, could you give me some more?
Yes, that guy, straight off Charles Dickens' novel.
Literally.
Like Brooklyn.
The Jamaican version.
Yeah, like a Jamaican Brooklyn version of Charles Dickens. And he always says, can you spare some change,
man? Exactly.
Can you spare some change? Yeah. And the weird thing is, you know, I lived in the street in 2000 for like five or 6 years.
When you said that, I thought you meant you lived on the streets.
No.
Like, no, you didn't.
No. Lucky me, I have not lived on the street yet.
Here's open.
Let's not even think about it. But I lived here in 2000 and he was doing the same thing. So
no way.
I thought he was a crack addict. But could you live that long? And like, that was 2000. So that's 24 years that he's been, can you spare some change?
Maybe he's just very eccentric.
He looks ashen though.
Maybe he's struggling with a little mental health.
That could be. But I think I told you.
He does not recognize me. I've said, like, one time he was wearing a really great shirt and I said, I love your shirt. And then he was like, oh, thanks. And then did his, can you spare some change?
Yeah, it's weird. Is he using an accent?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
And it's like Dickens English.
Yes. I did see him one time coming out of a basement apartment next street over.
So sure it was an apartment?
It was on Park Place, but it was like further down. But I saw him coming out. So I'm like, maybe he lives there, but with whom? And how? How?
With what
price
money?
Of real estate?
Maybe he's secretly rich. He sits outside of the grocery store.
Yeah.
A lot asking for some more change.
I know. He's been here forever. I don't understand. If he's a drug addict, how does he continue to...
He's got genes of steel.
I mean...
You know who my favorite person is?
Who? Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yellow beanie year-round.
Yellow
round.
Beanie year-round.
Yeah.
Curly white hair.
Curly white
a
hair.
A little bit older. How old do we think he is?
Well, we've talked about this before. I think he's like in his 70s.
Yeah. I think he's one of those people that looks younger.
He does look younger. Yeah. He's definitely older. He loves to like wax poetic about the...
Yes. Philosophical.
Yeah, anything really. He did lecture me on how to make tea out of mint, but well, he said he used to make it in Jamaica all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, he
said it's very potent. Don't start with too much. I said, okay.
He has addressed me and my father on the street.
Okay.
And before that, I was telling him about, you know, how I've been helping out with my parents, and he is very, very into that, talking about how important it is for the child to take care of the parent when the parent gets older, that I'm doing the right thing.
Well, he's very traditional.
It's a very traditional immigrant thing.
I love that.
You know, it's not like here. I mean, I think, dare I say, there's a difference in immigrant experience versus maybe the American experience.
Totally.
American non-immigrant experience, whatever that means. But
you know what I like about him most?
What?
If he knows you and he says hi to you, you've made it. You are part of the block. But if he ignores you, or I heard him yelling at someone the other day. Yeah. With some girl, I was desperate to look out the window, but it was going to be way too obvious. But she must have like not said hi or was startled or something. And then he lectured her on like how she was doing the wrong thing and not being friendly in the right way. And
She had bad street etiquette. She was going street etiquette.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see her, so I'm not really sure, but the vibe that I got was that she was from a small town. Probably she was white and is generally scared by everything. It's like there was this girl on this street who, I don't know, probably like 6 months ago, got robbed.
Oh.
She must have been on the phone or something.
Oh.
And a neighbor a couple doors down said hi to her one morning. It was actually during street cleaning.
Oh.
And this girl was like walking into her apartment. He was like, oh, how are you? She's like a little shaken up or whatever. And he was like, well, it's Brooklyn. And I feel like there's just such a difference between the gentrifiers who have just moved here, which like, yes, I'm in that camp too. Mm. But like the people who have no city etiquette who are like, oh, it's safe and easy and whatever here now. And the people are like, you're still in the city. Don't act like an idiot.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I lived in this block in 2000.
Yeah.
You know, and it was less gentrified then.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing around.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a problem.
Well, it's just street smarts. If you have street smarts, you're not an idiot.
People just don't mess with me. I mean, I have an attitude or something.
Yeah. I feel like when you act scared, you're a target then all of a sudden.
I've had people follow me home one time, like, but it was a very attractive young man.
You're like, you know what?
And then he waited outside my door and was waving at me in the window. That was
weird.
A little weird.
That's creepy.
That was very... street to the window. This was probably 2003 or 4.
Oh.
I think he was drunk and we both got off the train at the same time. And
he
was like kind of behind me and then he started talking to me and then I was just like, oh my God, I'm getting close to home and it's like 2 a.m.
Oh,
very stupid
I don't
of
like
me.
That
was
I
not
like
street
that.
Smart. That was very stupid of
no,
me.
No, but you learned.
I learned my lesson.
Okay. here's one for you.
Yeah.
We have a neighbor who always is recklessly positive. Says hi. Yes. So happy.
Yes. It's so hard.
It's exhausting.
It's really hard.
Now, when I see her, I just fake that everything's okay regardless because it's so much easier than getting into my real problems. How are you? Oh, I'm great. Yeah, everything's great. It's like, honestly, I don't have it in me to break her heart.
Yeah, I'm just straight with her. I mean, it's been a rough couple of years. I just let her know what's going on.
Has she stopped asking you so much?
Well, the weird part is, no. I mean, she asked me like a couple of weeks ago, and you know, the situation with my parents and stuff, and my mom is, you know, sick, and I'm taking care of her and stuff, and I just don't have the energy to be like, things are great.
See, I don't have the energy to do the opposite. I'm just like, yep, everything's great. See ya.
This last time I said terrible. And I never said that. Like, I just said terrible. Things are terrible.
What did she say? She said, oh, okay.
She couldn't really absorb what I was saying. She was like, that's too bad. And
I feel like she doesn't like the answer. She just wants to say, how are you, for the sake of saying how are you?
It might be cultural. I don't know. But here's the thing. I had realized then at that point, I had a moment of realization that it's been like 5 years that she's asked me how I am. I don't think there's been a single time where I've been like, fantastic.
At least you're honest with her.
I mean, then I had the thought, like, why am I never fantastic every time she asks me? It's like my reality is being reflected by this question that she asks me every couple months.
Well, see, that's the difference. You're happy to, like, use that as a reflection of where you are in life. And I'm like, everything's great. No problems. There's nothing going
on. Well, I feel like maybe fake it till you make it. Maybe that's part of it.
Well, I guess another option is to just ignore people. Like, if you're not having a good time, for example, the guy with the golden retriever who will not be friendly, refuses.
That guy. That's the Asian guy, right?
Yeah.
I think Asian persuasion.
Yeah.
He's definitely Asian. I mean, I'm part Asian. He should be talking to me nicely. No, you know what to do? I have to force myself on his dog.
Okay. His dog has come up to us at the park because, by the way, his dog wants to be friends.
Of course. It's a golden retriever.
Pretends we are not there.
That is.
Who gets a golden retriever who's not friendly?
It's weird.
That's crazy.
And he had that golden retriever as a puppy during the pandemic.
Oh my God. Was it so cute? That dog's not that old.
It's very cute. The dog was so cute. Oh. And I just forced myself on him and his dog. And I did not care. He did not care because I recognize him from 2000.
Only a few doors down from him at that point.
Yes. He should recognize me too.
But that's the thing. When people pretend they don't know who you are, you're like, you and I both know that we know each other. Yes. Like, why are you being weird?
And I think I know his wife too because I've seen her.
She doesn't have much hair. That's her, right?
Yes, it is her. That's the wife. And also, I think they have another apartment further down. And I looked at it thinking about renting it before I rented the apartment that he ended up renting. It's very interesting.
That is interesting.
That guy's an interesting guy. Why is he so defensive?
I don't know. Maybe he's got a big secret to hide.
Maybe he's communist.
Maybe.
Chinese communist.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I know.
Okay, to round it out, you know, this really good episode where we're just talking badly about everyone on our porch.
Talking shit about the neighbors.
I think we'd be remiss to not include the mayor of the entire block.
She is the mayor of the block.
Who recently had a campaign against the poor delivery people who have no bathroom to use and I guess are peeing on the street.
But she's not even close to there.
And like, also the helicopters. She's taking the helicopters. That personally.
Yeah.
Which I actually haven't heard any lately. So I wonder if that actually did something.
It might have worked. She's a powerful... I don't know. Maybe she's like a witch.
Maybe. She's all in that mustache of hers.
She has a mustache and some whiskers.
Yeah.
And
But it's powerful. It's not like off-putting. At first, you might think like, who is this person? But then she commands the block.
She was a teacher, a school teacher at one point.
You know what? Yeah. I did know that because one time for her birthday, there was an entire band, like a full band that came over to play.
Yep.
For her.
Does not surprise me.
What
does
did
not
she teach?
Surprise me. English?
That would
she
make
has
sense.
A poem. Like, she read a poem at one of the block parties that we had during the pandemic. It was a beautiful poem.
I wish I was here in the pandemic.
Yeah, she was oh, we did a lot of things. There was dancing in the street. I have videos.
Yeah, the Upper West Side was not.
No.
It's not it.
Yeah.
People just avoided each other.
Yeah. They
the didn't refrigerator wanna, trucks of dead bodies.
They didn't want to get involved.
No.
No. This place was pretty hopping. Everybody came out. Street parties and
cute
bands and DJs and people singing. Yeah.
In conclusion, friendly street or not friendly street?
I think this is a friendly street because it's a street of, well, honestly, of immigrants. A lot of immigrants.
That's true.
And there's a different type of community that immigrants create together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a sense of community because you find people who are like-minded or who are in the same situation, you help them. If you could choose any of the people talked about today to be stuck with in an elevator.
I think... Wow, that's interesting.
I know who I choose.
I think it would have to be our friend.
Beanie?
Yellow Beanie.
I would choose Yellow Beanie too. One, he plays tennis.
Yes!
You would never expect that.
No.
Two, he knows how to do everything construction-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Randomly?
Yeah, randomly. How? Like, also, how does he live on the street? Like,
he must have bought the place like years ago.
Yeah, is he a landlord?
No, I think he's a homeowner.
He owns it. He definitely owns where he lives. I wonder what it's like in there.
Ooh, rumor has it he had a wife.
Yes.
Rumor has it he offered another neighbor some love services.
Ooh.
I know. Much younger. Much younger.
You know what?
Shoot your shot.
If you own a building here, you should
just... You could be rich. You're like rich in the future.
Lots of potential. Maybe he needs to have a wife now.
Maybe that's what's missing.
Maybe that's what's missing for him. Let's go find him a wife.
Absolutely. I'm in. 100% in. Okay.